John Stuart Gill said, "I have learned to seek my happiness by limiting my desires rather than in attempting to satisfy them."
It happened to David. It happened to Solomon. It can happen to you and me. Hi, I'm Dave Deno. We can lose our Christian joy for any number of reasons. Everything from sin to sickness to stress. Well, today on The Tide, Pastor Dwayne Pottinger talks about some of these joy stealers. And then he tells us how to get it back. We'll get started in just a few minutes. First, though, let's join Dwayne for a few opening thoughts. Dwayne, the Bible talks about a joy unspeakable, about a peace that surpasses all understanding. Does a person have to be a Christian to experience this kind of joy?
I think a person who is not a Christian can have fun and excitement, but joy is a deeper issue. Joy is fun and excitement, but it also includes a deep inner peace, a sense of fulfillment in that fun and excitement. The inner joy can only be found in a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. So, to answer your question, yes, I think a person has to be a Christian to experience that kind of joy.
If it's true that only Christians have access to this kind of joy, then why do so many Christians seem to be missing it?
I think many Christians are missing deep inner joy for several reasons. One of them is, perhaps there has not been a full surrender of their life to Jesus Christ. Scripture says you cannot serve two masters. And so if you're struggling in trying to serve Christ, but also trying to serve self, you can't have joy. You're caught. You're being pulled two directions. Another reason is, as I just indicated, you are in fact caught between two worlds. You're wanting a fire insurance kind of experience with Christ. You're wanting the hope of having heaven. You have the truth in your heart, which calls you to live Christ-like. But you are still caught in living in sin. And so you're being pulled two directions. You're being stretched.
Pastor Dwayne Pottinger calls them joy stealers, thieves that might creep into our lives and rob us of the blessings of God. Let's find out what these menaces to spiritual society look like by joining Dwayne in his message, Where's the Joy?
A 92-year-old woman was legally blind. In spite of her limitations, she always was neatly dressed, her hair carefully brushed, and her makeup was applied tastefully. She met each day with eagerness and gratitude. Now, her husband died, and it was necessary for her to go to a nursing home where she could receive proper care. Upon arriving, her room wasn't ready, so she waited patiently in the lobby for several hours. When an attendant finally came to her, she smiled sweetly as she maneuvered her walker toward the elevator. The staff member described her room to her, including the new curtains that had been hung on the windows. "Oh, I love it," she said. "But Mrs. Jones, you haven't even seen your room yet," the attendant replied. "That doesn't have anything to do with it," she said. "Happiness is something you choose. Whether I like my room or not doesn't depend on how it's arranged. It's how I arrange my mind." I don't want to make excuses this morning, but I realize that one of the challenges that I go through on a regular basis is this issue of joy. Part of the impact on brain surgery survivors or brain patients is discouragement, depression, and not being able to think clearly. And so that is an ongoing part of my battle. But the question is not just about me this morning. The question is, have the challenges and the chaotic conditions of life caused you to lose the joy that God intends for us to have as His children? Now, the word joy, according to Webster's Collegiate Dictionary, means emotion evoked by well-being, success or good fortune, delight, the expression or exhibition of such emotion, a state of happiness. I want to take that concept and look, what does biblical joy mean? Well, biblical joy is a deep inner sense of confidence. It's faith and trust that God is in control. It is contentment. Now, in the midst of life's journey, we don't have to live very long until we recognize that on our journey there are joy stealers. Here are several things that I would suggest to you that are joy stealers. Failure to be renewed in God's presence and His power. How about family problems? It can be marital problems, problems with parents, or problem with children, or problem between children, or problem with extended relatives. You don't need to raise your hands, but let me ask the question. How many of you have had frustrations or joy stealers with relatives, family members? How about another joy stealer is business or busyness and overloaded schedules, crowded schedules. We just get under the press and we end up being human doings instead of human beings. How about negative attitudes? Anger, jealousy, envy, selfishness, the list could go on. But negative attitudes can steal or sap away our joy. Another one, physical problems. I know that's been a challenge for me. Physical problems like sickness or poor health. How about the job or financial problems? They can be joy stealers. Or the want or desire or lust for more things. And perhaps the greatest joy stealer of all is sin, disobedience to God. And just as we go through life, these various issues and more poke holes in us, causing us to lose our joy. John Stuart Gill said, "I have learned to seek my happiness by limiting my desires rather than in attempting to satisfy them." How can we discover our joy? Where's the joy? What can I do to find joy? Here are several things that we can do as steps to restoring our joy or finding joy. First of all, we can find joy in reflecting on our pardon for sin. Forgiveness brings freedom, and freedom brings joy. Oswald Chambers said, "A man never knows joy until he gets rightly related with God." Friends, there is a possibility today that you are not experiencing joy because your relationship with God is not right. And so what I'm encouraging you to recognize is that perhaps the first step to having new joy is to making sure that you are in right relationship with God. A second way that we can find joy, when we ask the question, where's the joy? It's in the power of the Holy Spirit. Notice with me Acts chapter 13, verse 52. "And the disciples were filled with" what? "Joy" and what? "The Holy Spirit." Now I find it interesting that the writer says they were filled with joy and the Holy Spirit. It was in conjunction with. When the Holy Spirit came, joy came as well. I find that when we make deeper and more complete surrender to the Lord, when we empty ourselves of ourself, we make room for more of the Holy Spirit to come. The Holy Spirit fills us to the extent that we empty ourselves of ourselves. It is through the power of the Holy Spirit that we can find joy in Jesus Christ. A third way that we can find joy, when we ask the question, where's the joy? We can find joy when we have peace in our hearts. People want peace. But they look for peace in power. They look for peace in possessions. They look for peace in pleasure. Psychologists tell us that a man's basic needs are the need to belong and for security. Obviously, our basic needs of food and water and shelter. Now, if that's true, to belong and the need for security and of provisions, Christians of all people should have peace and joy. We can have joy because in Christ we have peace of our mind and peace in our heart. I want you to take your Bible for a moment and turn with me to Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. He says this, "Rejoice in the Lord always." No small challenge. And in case we didn't get it, he says, "I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all." Why? The Lord is near. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." Notice this. "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Because we have the privilege to take our request to God, because we can lay down our anxiety and our stress, because we don't have to worry, because He's going to guard our hearts and our minds, we have reason to rejoice. We have reasons to celebrate. Another reason when we can find joy. Where can you find joy? In the place of service or ministry. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 10 says, "Worship the Lord your God," and notice this, "serve Him only." He's calling us, not only commanding, but He is inviting us to serve Him. Ephesians 4:12 talks about that we are to prepare God's people for works of service. Now, there has to be something locked up in this concept of serving God and serving other people that leads us to fulfillment and joy. When Christians neglect, excuse, or refuse to serve in ministry, they are actually refusing to serve God, which is a disobedience, which is one of those holes in the joy tank which steals away our joy. At any point, the joy of life begins to dry up. The person starts going through the motions of life. And so often we find ourselves going through motions and full of busyness and schedules, but we've lost that joy. You can only have joy when you begin to give to others. And as you give of yourself, joy begins to fill up into your life. Helen Keller once said, "Many persons have a wrong idea about what constitutes true happiness. It's not attained through selfish gratification, but through fidelity to a worthy purpose." When we give ourselves to a cause, when we begin to serve, we begin to find that true joy and happiness. Well, joy is found, and notice what I'm just reminding you here and those things that we've just reflected on. Joy is found when we have pardon for sin, the power of the Holy Spirit, peace in our hearts, and a place of service in ministry. Well, what are some joy stimulators? As we head towards the finish line here, what are some joy stimulators? Well, obviously, we said that one of the greatest joy stealers is sin and disobedience. So one of the greatest joy stimulators would be repentance and humility before God. We need to search our hearts and say, "God, is there something in my soul that is causing my spirit to become hardened, that I don't laugh, that there's no humor, there's no lightness?" A second would be an obvious obedience to God and to His Word. If we're not obeying His Word, it's hard to be joyful. Another joy stimulator is music and worship songs. Did you find it joyful to see the children singing here this morning? I mean, although they didn't all know what to do, and some of them obviously weren't still quite awake, and they were scared by looking out of all you people. I get scared sometimes. Just because I'm human. But didn't you find joy in their innocence and honesty and some of their ignorance because they didn't know all the words and they didn't have all the motions down? Wasn't there joy in their simplicity? And I happen to think if we kind of lighten up a little bit and wouldn't take ourselves so seriously, we'd have more joy. And God would take joy as the Father. He would look down at His children. He'd take joy in us. But sometimes We're so restricted. We're so limited. Not only do we not have joy, but our Father isn't getting joy. We need to lighten up. I believe God is a God who longs for us as His children to have joy. Another joy stimulator is fulfilling ministry involvement. If you have tried a ministry and you didn't find joy and you didn't find fulfillment, I want to encourage you to try something else. Don't simply stop. Don't simply become a pew sitter and stagnant as a believer, because God has something for you to do where you will find joy. See, sometimes we haven't found joy because we've been like a square peg in a round hole. I don't fit here. Now, that doesn't mean you shouldn't be involved in some ministry. It means you should find the appropriate place. And when you find that appropriate place, there should be joy. There are some things in ministry that I don't enjoy. And there are some things in ministry I love to do. So what is it for you? I mean, obviously we're not all preachers. But maybe for you, it's being a greeter at the door. When I greet people at the door, I feel the joy of God. When I teach children in a Sunday school class, I feel the joy of God. When I hold little babies in the nursery, when I serve as an usher, when I sing, when whatever it might be, find that place because God wants you to have joy. Don't give up. Don't stop short. Pursue that joy. Another way that we can find stimulation to pursue joy is loving, sharing, and giving, and helping others. I've mentioned this already. As we give ourselves away, God begins to pour His presence into our lives. And what do we know about His presence? In His presence, Scripture says, there is fullness of joy. Woohoo! Another joy stimulator, you find it when you relax. I mean, you don't take yourself so seriously. And then, one more suggestion. Spend time with positive people. People who are happy, people who laugh, people who love telling jokes. Now, obviously, as believers, we want to make sure that our humor and our jokes are appropriate. Scripture says that we are not to tell coarse jokes. We shouldn't be laughing at things that Scripture does not approve of. We need to be careful. But oh, there is great value in good, healthy humor. What does Scripture say? Laughter is good like a medicine. How many of you need a good dose? I do. John 15:11 says, I have told you this. He's speaking for the Lord. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Now notice this. Fanny Crosby lost her sight when she was only 6 weeks old. How old was Fanny? 6 weeks old, and she lost her sight. She lived into her 90s, composing thousands of hymns. We've sung them for years in the churches. On her 92nd birthday, she cheerfully said, if in all the world you can find a happier person than I am, do bring him to me. I should like to shake his hand. Now, I find that amazing and challenging. She lost her sight at 6, and her whole life at 92, she was so full of happiness and joy, she said, in essence, I don't think there's a happier person in the world. If there is, I want to meet him. Somehow, by God's help, I want to pursue that. I want to become a happier person. William van der Hoven said, joy is not the absence of trouble, but the presence of Christ. And so a little poem by Fitzhugh says, when trials come and my moods descend, when pain and sorrow seem never to end, as I yield to you, Lord, may I see the peace and the joy you've promised me.
Have you identified one or two of those joy stealers in your life today? I know I have. Now is the season for pursuing these things that stimulate joy: repentance, obedience, service. And now for some final thoughts Let's join Duane and our director, Don Schenk, in the studio.
Duane, towards the beginning of your message today, you gave a list of joy stealers. Is there a concrete way to deal with these joy stealers?
The good news is I believe there is, Don. I think we need to identify what the joy stealer or joy stealers are. And by doing that, we identify what the holes are in our joy tank. Once we identify what they are, then we can determine that we will do something about them. I think the third thing we can do is take the step to fix that hole. For example, if it's failure to respond, to be renewed in God's presence, we need to make a decision that we will spend quiet time reading God's word, spending time in prayer. That's the practical application of taking the step towards joy. Another application would be if it's a family problem in marriage or with children or siblings, we need to get some pastoral or perhaps professional counseling. If the issue is busyness in our lives, perhaps there's overloaded schedules, we need to go through and start scheduling more wisely. We're letting those things steal our joy. If it's worry, anxiety, and stress, we need to spend time turning those things over to the Lord and spend time in worship, knowing that, in fact, He's still God. I think all of these things, we can ultimately take them to the cross. Some of them, we can read good books that will help us work through the issues. If they are more serious in nature, we need to get some pastoral or professional help that we can, in fact, overcome the joy stealers and patch those holes, that the joy of the Lord would be our strength.
Mm-hmm. Well, Duane, let me, before we close here, remind our listeners that this month we are promoting our new outreach into Nepal. It's something we've been working on developing over the past year, and we're happy to say that now we have the programs ready. They are being aired during the month of October. We have initiated the broadcast into Nepal. And let me just say a little bit about the country of Nepal. It's a country that is deeply religious. 86% of the population are Hindu, 8% are Buddhists, about 4% are Muslims, and the rest, which is 2%, somewhere in that 2% fits Christianity. Now, that's a small amount, but it's significant that basically 12 years ago, it was considered that there was no viable Christian presence in Nepal. So within 12 years, the church has been established. There is a Christian presence there. And we're trusting that our broadcast going in there will help to encourage Christians in a nation where it is actually illegal to try to convert someone. So our broadcast coming in from outside the country into homes can accomplish what missionaries and pastors will be persecuted for and are actually not allowed to do there in the country.
Radio can often do what missionaries cannot, and certainly that is true in Nepal, where Christian evangelism is illegal. To make a donation toward the Tide broadcast in Nepal, call us today toll-free at 1-877-859-5484. And when you call, remember, a copy of today's lesson, Where's the Joy, is available for a gift of any size. So call today and ask for tape or CD number 0441. The toll-free number to call is 1-877-859-5484. Or write to us at The Tide at P.O. Box 399, Chambersburg, Pennsylvania, 17201. For more information about The Tide, or to hear an encore presentation of today's lesson, be sure to visit our website at www.gospeltide.org. You know, privacy fences, gated communities, unlisted phone numbers. These are things that our culture puts a premium on so that they can have isolation. But we were created for togetherness. God's unrestricted neighborhood. That's the topic coming next week on The Tide. Until then, I'm Dave Dino. Thank you for tuning into The Tide, touching hearts on shores worldwide.